my people, and welcome back to the Ricardo Report. High school sports and hip hop is Fox Sports 1340 AM. I'm your host, Chad Ricardo, and riding with me, Shotgun, my main man, best friend, main man, 50 Grander. How many years has it been, Jibs?
I don't know, man. It's been
far too many years, but I got my main man Jigs with me right now, man. We've been friends longer than a lot of you all have even been alive, but we'll talk about that a little later on. Rodney Jigs Johnson, we got to talk about that football matchup yesterday. I think my Giants, we took out your Eagles, right?
Come on, man. It is what it is. You saw the score.
I did see the score. You all did have a pass to win the game down the stretch. I got a little tight right there, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Another thing we're going to talk about coming up is that, did you see Lil Wayne on Nightline the other day? Some of the things that he had to say about Black Lives Matter?
Yeah, unfortunately, I did see him. And the problem with that is if I saw him, that means a lot of other people in America saw him as well, especially the kid that look up to him. But Well, I'll let you finish.
Yeah, ton of the kids, man, and we love the kids. We care about the young men, young women out there. But before we get to any of that, Jigs, it's imperative that we take a moment right now. You know what I mean? By now, I'm sure that a lot of you out there have heard or that you've been made aware of the fact that Miss Monet Anderson, Miss Lady Broadcaster herself, we've come to a decision that collectively that Miss Monet Anderson is no longer going to be with the Ricardo Report. It's with great sadness that we say that because, Jigs, you know, Monet, she's been with us for well over a year, man. She really started to help to build the empire, the brand that it is that we live by, man. So we really, really appreciate her. It's sad to see her go.
I agree with that. And I've listened to you guys, and the chemistry that you guys had was something special. And I think a lot of the fans, you know, enjoyed that, especially that back and forth that you guys had going on. But I do want to say, you know, for Monet, her welcoming me into the show, it made things so much easier, and just taking her lead and, you know, how she asks questions, how she answers questions, and just being comfortable in this particular format, something that I had never done before.
Right.
I do want to, you know, looking at Monet, that made it a lot easier to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, man. Miss Monet Anderson, extraordinarily talented. Of course, she and I go back to our days with the other network, SEN Television. We started off there. We're able to hit it off and build up that chemistry, man. We've highlighted a ton of student athletes. So for each and every one of you out there that's listening right now, please do follow the career, support the career of Monet Anderson. She may not be with the Ricardo Report anymore, but I can guarantee you that she will still love to highlight and put some respect on you all's name. So definitely love going out to Miss Monet Anderson. Now, though, we are going to move on. We got to talk about this football game. NFC East, the Washington Redskins, they were off this week. So fortunately, we don't have to waste any time talking about the Redskins. unfortunately for both of us, Jigs, the Cowboys, they just keep on winning, bruh. They keep on winning.
Cowboys out there rolling, man. There ain't much more we can say about that except that's just what they're doing, man.
Hey, listen, I don't want to say I told you so because I feel like I've done that a lot over the span of the 20 years of our friendship, Jigs, but I don't want to say I told you so, but weeks ago, I feel as though I told you and everybody else that Dak Prescott was going to end up the starter for the rest of the year, bro. I told you that then.
I mean, that's what you said, but I still don't see where they actually made that official announcement.
Well, they didn't make it official.
Until they make it official, until I see something on NFL.com, until I see something in the newspapers saying that Dak Prescott has been named, you know, there's no quarterback drama anymore.
Okay.
And that's what I roll with it. I mean, as far as I know right now, they're still saying that Romo is still trying to recover.
He's still nursing back from the injury that he could have come back from 2 weeks ago. Right. Okay. Okay. All right. But I want to talk about your Eagles. So now, truth be told, my Giants are 5-3. We're in second place now. You all are in the basement, but that's neither here nor there because you are still at 500. So and it's one game back from us. But one of the things that I got to ask you about, I know that last week you were on the show, you were kind of ranting a little bit about your coach. You all felt as though you and other Eagle fans as well, kind of felt as though he was a little conservative in his play call. And this week, not at all, bro. He went for it. You all went for it on fourth down, man. You are ultra aggressive. What did you think of your coach and how he called the game?
So, I mean, what I feel about those fourth down play calls, like I said, there were three fourth downs that we went for it on. One of them was a no-brainer. I mean, it was the end of the game, and we needed to take that shot. The other two, man, I like the aggressiveness that Peterson has out there. I just don't like the play calls themselves.
Right.
I mean, you know, I think Wentz kept it on one of these play action call, ended up losing a bunch of yards.
Yes.
Then there was, they gave it to Darren Sproles to have him try to hit the edge on that. You know, they were right there at the goal line.
Correct.
So what I feel about that is, you know, these play calls, when you only have inches to go, that's what you pay your big backs for.
I mean, isn't that what you got? 2-4 back there? That's what you got, 24-4.
You know, and you got to trust Ryan Matthews at some point.
Right.
You got to put faith in your offensive lineman, you know, at some point. You know, it's a couple of inches, fellas. You guys get paid to move these mountains. You guys got to move those mountains and those barriers that are in front of you. So go for it on fourth and short. Go straight up the middle. I don't understand.
I feel you, bro. I definitely feel you. And sometimes I think as a coach, you can attempt to outsmart everybody, and sometimes you end up outsmarting yourself, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, I was thrilled when in the first quarter, first half, when Wentz tried that bootleg around the corner on fourth down. I was absolutely thrilled, man.
Oh, you talking about when he made that horrible pass choice when he should have thrown it out of bounds?
Yeah, that was great as well. I mean, look, in the first half, Carson Wentz, he made a ton of wonderful decisions if you are a Giants fan. You see what I'm saying? Made our defense look good. I got to tell you, for my part, though, I watching the game, I felt really great about the way that we converted your turnovers into touchdowns early. Fourth quarter, though, we played absolutely horribly. We won the game. We've won three in a row, but I'm still not totally happy with us. I'm happy that we're getting Odell Beckham Jr. the ball in the end zone a little bit more to keep him happy. He's not kissing the net no more. He's back to just dancing, so hopefully he's having a good time again. But, you know, we got a lot of work to do as well. I would like to say that both of us got some work to do. Would you agree with that?
I agree with you 100%. And honestly, that second half of the game, that was our game to lose, man.
Yeah, man.
We certainly lived up to that.
Well, speaking of games and losing and losers, I should say, man, you know, like I spoke to you earlier, we had an opportunity to watch Nightline and Lil Wayne the other day, bro. And I got to tell you, man, like it was so off-putting. Chicks, for anybody that hasn't checked it out, Lil Wayne was on Nightline. He was asked about Black Lives Matter and what that means to him. Amongst other things that he said that he didn't have any connection to anything that does not directly connect to him. He said that the only thing that he's concerned about are his derogatory term for young ladies out there. He said the only thing that he feels connected to is his flag because he's a banger. I mean, he said a lot of aggressive things, Jigs. And I guess that my question for you, though, is sometimes we look to people to be idols that we should not look to be idols. Should we as a people care what Lil Wayne has to say about Black Lives Matter?
Right. I think we definitely should care because we as a people have our children looking up to this guy and trying to emulate the things that he says and the things that he does. You know, a lot of the kids don't see the life that he may have saw when he was younger, but they want to definitely try to emulate it. And by emulating that life, they're not just emulating that part of it. They're trying to emulate everything
Correct.
That this guy talked about.
Correct.
So once he makes it cool to say he doesn't, you know, agree or he doesn't feel with Black Lives Matter, I think some of these kids, especially the ones that don't have other role models.
Right.
To, those are the ones that are definitely going to be affected by it. You know what? And after watching that, you know who I likened what he said and the way he spoke?
Who is that?
I likened it to one of the presidential candidates that's out there right
now.
Wow,
that's real. That's real, bro.
The exact same way that candidate answers questions.
Right. Okay?
And I did some reading about why he answered the question that way. I mean, what he came back and said, because he came back with an apology
the
Wednesday after. And you said that, well, he got upset and he didn't really hear any of the questions. He wasn't thinking about his answers after the young lady asked him about, do you call your daughter these derogatory terms? Or if somebody called your daughter these derogatory terms, how would you feel? Then he said something flipped, and then that's when he just started going off the cuff.
Right.
I mean, but bruh.
Right.
Bruh.
Yeah, now.
All you need to state is, I don't want anybody calling my daughter this. And it's, you know, the problem is when you start to ask people questions that are introspective and about themselves.
Correct.
That's when you see the defensiveness comes out. And if that defensiveness made him say that, I don't know what Black Lives Matter is. I don't care about Black Lives Matter. What is it? I'm rich. I'm blah, blah, blah.
Right.
He was been posturing against a young lady. Like,
absolutely.
I don't know how much. But then again, he did state the whole, I'm rich, I'm separated, I step out on stage in front of all of these, when I look out and I see all of these white fans, that tells you that, you know, there is no problem because that one person made it. I mean,
he said that on Undisputed, man. And that's the thing that I do want for all of our listeners out there, to you that's sitting at home right now. I know that we are a sports show and we don't intend to step into other lanes that are not ours. But Lil Wayne did first go on Undisputed, the show with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. And it was at that point in which he first stated that a man being from the Deep South, he said that he had never experienced racism before in his life and he didn't feel as though it still existed. So, I mean, Wayne has made a few highly questionable comments on this topic, and that's one of the reasons that we got to talk about it right now, because I agree with you, bro. Like, it's so imperative that this is important to us, because people that come from households such as you and myself, we were fortunate to grow up with strong men in our lives, with strong fathers in our lives, so we were taught to know better than to get our news and lessons on life from Lil Wayne. But there's a lot of people out there that have not been blessed to have that. And so they do look up to him. They do look up to the Drakes of the world. They do. And Drake, by all accounts, is a pretty good guy. But they do look up to the Futures of the world and to all of these other hip hop performers, etc. And when this is the message, it's dangerous for our people, which makes it dangerous for society as a whole.
Yeah, very dangerous. And what I want to tell these kids, and you heard the anchor on Nightline reference, it wasn't an anchor on Nightline, I was listening to something else too, reference that he had several semi-conscious songs where he actually spoke about police brutality and Black Lives. And he actually had a concert where he shouted out that Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
So, you know, where this guy is coming from, again, it's about, I don't know. I honestly can't even say.
I can't say what's
triggering what. I mean, I can tell you that in that particular interview on Nightline, I think he was definitely triggered because the young lady asked him about his daughter, and that set him into one path where he only saw red answering his questions. But then again, with Shannon Sharp and him, I don't know, you know, what it is. But again, this goes back to a conversation that we had a while ago about, you know, does money drive
what these
public figures do and say?
Absolutely.
And the answer to that is yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, bro, I 1,000,000% agree with you right there, because I did feel as though that's where Wayne was coming from when he was on Undisputed and the reason he gave that answer. I want to be clear, but before we get out of here, myself, I as an individual, everything that the Black Lives Matter movement does or all of the actions of all of the individuals is not something that I necessarily agree with either, although I do support the cause. However, what I cannot support ever at any stretch is when there is an individual such as Lil Wayne who goes up there and that his words, who does not understand the power of their words and the way that that may affect not only today's generation, but generations to come, man. So we cannot support that.
Agreed.
One more time before we head to a break right now, want to shed love, give love, share love to Miss Monet Anderson. If you're out there listening, we at the Ricardo Report wish you well.
I used to believe we were burning on the something beautiful, something beautiful. Selling a dream, smoking mirrors keep us waiting on a miracle, on a miracle. Say go through the darkest of days, having to heartbreak away. Never let you go, never let me down. Oh, it's been a hell of a ride, driving the edge of a knife. Never let you go, never let me down. Don't you give up, nah, nah, nah. I won't give up, nah, nah, nah. Let me love you, let me love you. Don't you give up, nah, nah, nah. I won't give up, nah, nah, nah. Let me love you, let me love you.
And we're back at the Ricardo Report High School Sports and Hip Hop. Very, very good conversation in the opening block with Rodney Jiggs Johnson. Bringing on the show right now, my main man, Darrell Balknight, WCAC Insider. Also, Josh JVE Laurie, who knows a little bit about a lot of things. Before we move on to the major games that are going down in the WCAC, guys, I do want to get your opinion, though. Jiggs and I, we were talking about Lil Wayne. Darrell, did you see him on Nightline as well?
Yeah, I saw that interview and the one with Skip Bayless as well, yep.
On Undefeated. And again, to make clear to everybody out there, I know that we're a sports show. We like to stay in our own lane. But since Wayne initially on Undefeated, he made the statements that he had never been from Louisiana, never experienced racism before in his life. I thought that that was a little bit far out there. But what he said on Nightline just went totally, totally over the board. The thing that I asked Jiggs and the thing that I want to ask the two of you is, Lil Wayne, he's a rapper, man. He never claimed to be a role model. He's a rapper. So as a people, all people, should we really care what Lil Wayne has to say about Black Lives Matter, race relations, or anything?
Well, I mean, I think that despite him being a rapper, at the end of the day, he's still a citizen. And whether or not we agree with his opinions or not is up to us. It's the same thing with athletes and whether or not athletes should be speaking in the political spectrum, like LeBron introducing Hillary Clinton at her rally the other day. So despite him being a rapper and his opinion not being as credited as other people's, such as politicians, we still can't discount it and ignore it because at the end of the day, he does have an opinion.
And Josh, sometimes I think that you're younger than D. You're actually older than D, but you are of a certain generation that maybe Lil Wayne has a great influence over. It at one point did have a great influence. Do you feel as though his words have the power to sway the mind of individuals in your generation?
Maybe not now. I'd say probably back in 2009 when he was at the height of his game. But over the last couple of years, we've seen Wayne go through a number of things with his personal life. I mean, his dispute with his adoptive father, Birdman. There's the whole thing with him drinking too much codeine and having seizures because of that. At this point, we kind of take, we know what we're getting with Lil Wayne, so I'm not surprised by his comments, but I am disappointed because you want your heroes to be better. And he's not a personal hero of mine, but I've got friends who looked up to him.
Absolutely.
A father figure.
And you're wording right there. Listen, all of you out there, you've heard me talk about this for about the last 15 minutes now. So I'm going to shut up on this one. But for all of you out there, Josh, you just used the word hero. And I had an opportunity to see Bill Goldberg. Do you two, are you two even old enough to know who Goldberg is, the wrestler?
No, I've definitely heard of him. But come on,
you're acting like we were both born in 2000.
Okay. All right. As a lot of our listeners were. But I had the opportunity to see Goldberg. He was on First Take last week. And Goldberg is he's a really good guy. And they were asking him why it was important to him to be such a role model. And he said that it's important to him to be a role model for our youth, for our young adults, for our kids, because there are not very many heroes left out here in the world, man. And that there does still have to be some guys that are willing to always do the right thing to set an example for the generations that are coming after us. And I thought that that was I thought that was dope. I thought it was powerful. All right, moving on to the WCAC. Definitely want to talk about this. Two huge games went down this past week. All of us were on DeMatha, and all of us were on St. John's. All of us were right in one regard and all of us were wrong in another. So let's start right there. Darrell, right when Coach T was giving you the card back, bruh, you picked against Gonzaga again and they won again. D, tell me.
I don't know. That seems to be the running joke with me now the next couple of weeks. But I it's not that I didn't believe they would win the game. It was just that because of my season prediction, I predicted 7-3 for Gonzaga, third in the WCAC. That's why
D.
What?
Don't you get... Josh, do you hear that? He's saying he only chose them to so that his season prediction would...
Hey.
What is that?
He did preface that. I mean, he did.
Oh, my gosh.
He had Gonzaga winning in the playoffs. So that kind of goes with the story.
It doesn't go with who he had winning. Since both of you are going to do this right here, I did believe that St. John's was going to win this game. I didn't say it just so that my prediction from 10 weeks ago could be right. I believed that St. John's was going to win this game last week. I'm not going to go there, but I did believe that St. John's was going to win. I am so pleased for Gonzaga. I talked to a couple of people that were there at the game. I've got my sources, and what they said is that Gonzaga, it was not close to a fluke. They said that Gonzaga won this game from start to finish, that they beat up on SJC from the first quarter all the way through the fourth. And Josh, you and I, we had an opportunity to speak about this previously. I'm not surprised that Gonzaga won, but I am surprised of how they knocked off and beat up this vaunted SJC defense.
Yeah, that's been what the Cadets have been hanging their hat on for the last couple of seasons, that tenacious defense. And seeing them give up 45 points, Dad, you and when we mentioned this, we said that this has got to be the most points they've allowed in a couple of seasons.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And Darrell, here's the thing that I want to ask you. I want to talk to you about Kasim Hill. Okay, it's rare that, you know, but I want to speak to you precisely about Kasim Hill. Had an opportunity to meet him in person on two different occasions. He is an outstanding, phenomenal young man. Not only a great quarterback, there's no question he's a great quarterback, but he's also a phenomenal young man. So what I want to ask you, though, is that he did make the decision to transfer to St. John's. Obviously, the season's not close to over yet. We're headed to the playoffs right now. But if you're Kasim Hill right now, are you questioning your decisions to come to this St. John's team?
I don't think so, because I think Kasim Hill is a competitor. He's a winner, and he knew what he was getting himself into before he even made the decision. So by choosing to come to St. John's, he was obviously looking at DeMatha, Gonzaga, Good Counsel, all the teams that are going to compete with you week in and week out and every Saturday on the field. So this is one of the best conferences in the country to play football in. And he knew that coming to St. John's would be a huge step from, you know, where he previously was in terms of competition. So I don't think he's going to second guess or question what the actions he made and the decision he made.
Phenomenal quarterback. And what was that, Josh?
I was just going to add, especially when you see how Gilman has obviously shifted and de-emphasized the football program. So if he was there, he would be alone in a sense as in regards to the talent he would be surrounded by.
Phenomenal quarterback, and like I said, the season not over. Because look, if Kasim Hill wins two more games, then it'll look like the best decision that's ever been made in life. So there's definitely no doubt, no question to that at all. Josh, here's what I want to ask you, because again, Josh did not throw you under the bus a moment ago. I'm gonna give you a chance to throw him under the bus. Josh, you were, like you said, driving the SJC bandwagon from 2 months before the season began. Now you look at this team in the last 7 games. I think they're 4-3 in the last 7 games, bro. Where is your confidence level right now for the St. John's Cadets?
I mean, it's still where it was at the beginning of the season, especially when you look at the three teams who those losses are to. Two of those teams are ranked in the top 10 by the USA Today for high school teams in the nation. And when we talk about Gonzaga, they're a team perennially who, if we're talking about a top 35 or 40, they're definitely going to be on that list of high school programs.
Okay.
It's nothing to snip your head at. as for the fact that they're matching up again against Gonzaga, I feel like they'll be able to make the necessary adjustments and come out with the W when it really matters.
Wait, we are going to... Wait, take that back, Josh. I'm going to ask you that in a second, bro. Where's your drama? This is, Darrell, this is why we don't have him this early in the show. Where's his drama right there?
Okay, so you're going to give me grief, but you didn't say anything when Darrell told you who he was going to pick for this week.
That was a week ago. He had flair to make a pick a whole 14 days before the game started. There was no flair there. You just said it. Just put it out there. All right. Putting it out there. DeMatha, number one, we were all on the Stags and they paid off for us, knocking off Good Counsel by a final score of 21-7. DeMatha went out there. They got it done on defense. Josh, I know that you were in the building. The DeMatha defense did not allow any points. The DeMatha offense, to my understanding, played it pretty close to the vest. Our dude, our guy, the logo, Bo English, was able to cap off all three drives with rushing touchdowns, adding to his prowess for the big time season that he's had thus far. Kind of what I want to know though from you, Josh, is Good Counsel, how much on the ropes are they right now? Word on the streets is that Travis Nannen may not love Travis Nannen. Had an opportunity to meet him earlier as well. Love that young man. Travis Nannen may not start this week anymore. I heard from an inside source, not going to give out any names, heard from an inside source that maybe what Monet Anderson said a couple of weeks on the show was right, that maybe the game has passed big game Bob Malloy by. I don't want to be disrespectful. I'm not saying it, but I heard it from a source. That sounds like Donald Trump, but what's your take on Good Counsel right now?
I wouldn't say they're on the ropes. While this season has been a slight disappointment from the high expectations they had coming in, you've also got to look at their schedule. Their losses are to quality teams. It's not like there's anything that has you dropping your jaw.
Well, see, now you're about to answer the question in terms of how their overall. See, I want to know if they're on the ropes today. Today.
I was about to get to that if you would have given me a second.
Okay.
Darrell, what did you have to give Chad so he didn't cut you off on any of your answers?
Just my respect, that's it.
Okay, so you get off easy. All right, I see how it is. But anyways, when we're looking at this game, it was, for most of the game, a one-possession game. The Stags were able to score two late touchdowns. And also, you've got to realize that right when they had gotten on the board, the Falcons had a 94-yard kick return called back because of illegal use of hands on the return.
Well,
if that happens, we're going 7-7. The scoreline that we're looking at, 7-7 scoreline up until the end of the third quarter, that's a completely different ballgame we're talking about.
Well,
especially with how the defensive line, especially Joshua Pashaw, were playing for the Falcons throughout the game.
Listen, you're talking about a lot of ifs right there, and had the game been played in DeMatha, the student section would have been yelling, "You can't do that." So
they already were yelling. And first of all, I've got to say, that was one wild environment. I was there with one of my friends who is an alumni of Good Counsel, and he said that was even wilder than when he was at the school, and he was there during the days when Stephon Diggs was making everybody duke out and they want back-to-back titles.
I love it. I love it, bro. DB, Darrell Balknight, here's the question right now, man. I want to know who's going to be playing in the WCAC finals right now. I mean, you and I have been on DeMatha all year. You know, that guy over there, not so much. So you tell me who's going to win these two games and why.
Well, look, I think when you look at it, these are the four teams we all pretty much predicted to be in the playoffs.
Correct.
The top four teams. Even though Good Counsel's been on the ropes lately, St. John's is, they're 4-3 in their last seven games. And Gonzaga and DeMatha have excelled this season, obviously, with DeMatha finishing undefeated. And I do think both games are going to be competitive. All four teams are going to come out, give it their all. I think they gave it their all probably on Friday and Saturday. But there's more that each coach has up their sleeve. But that said, the games may be close, but I'm sticking with the top two seeds. I'm going to DeMatha over Good Counsel and Gonzaga over St. John's. Those are the two in the championship.
I feel you right there. I love it. Josh, what do you say?
I mean, it's been no secret.
You just made arguments for Good Counsel and St. John's just now.
It's been no secret that I believe that St. John's is going to win it all. So obviously, I am sticking with them. I am not about to hop off of this train that I've been conducted for the last 8 months. As for the other game, yes, Good Counsel kept it close. But like we said, the Stags were incredibly conservative with their offense.
They were content
to run the ball all three downs and were able to grind out a win that way. I'm expecting to see a more open offense and them to actually put some more points on the board.
So you're going SJC DeMatha?
Yes.
The rematch. I feel you, bro. Listen, DeMatha, we're all the Good Counsel. Love you. Actually, guys, I got to tell you, if you ever want to make a friend on Twitter, the person that you should friend on Twitter is at GC Football. I love at DeMatha DM Football. I love, you know what? I love Coach T, but you know who I don't like? Darrell Balknight. I don't like at Gonzaga TDC. They don't ever retweet anything that we tweet at them whatsoever. Do they ever retweet anything?
They retweet me.
Oh, man. Oh, gosh. You know what? Now, at Gonzaga TDC, I like you even less. But the person that I do love, or the account that I do love is at GC Football. That is my friend, and I wish at GC Football and that entire program the absolute best, but I too am going with the DeMatha Stags in this one. Bo English, Corey Sproul, Delonte Helms, Grant Donaldson, Miles Myrie. We're getting word that Marcus Miner is going to play in that game, so definitely a shout out to that young man. Wonderful to see that he's doing well. I say DeMatha wins that game, and in the other game, I believe that Kasim Hill is probably by pure skill set, the arguably best quarterback on the East Coast. He's a fine young man. However, I'm going Gonzaga. I'm going Gonzaga here. I'm going with D. I'm not going with you, Josh. No disrespect to Kasim, to Ed Lee, to all of those guys out there, but word on the streets is that Bangda may not play as either, which means that they may be down to their third running back. I know they got studs over there, but they may be down to their third running back. Love Ryan Vessels. Love Nick Zimmerman. Love all of those dudes, but I think that Gonzaga, with Coach T leading it, with Tyree Randolph running the ship, Max Fisher is hot, Sam Brown had a hell of a first half, and they lit up this defense, man. And I believe that Gonzaga gets it done again, and we get a DeMatha Gonzaga Classic final.
I agree. I think it's going to be good. And be sure that you don't call at GC Football an ant or ants.
They forgave me.
How do you get forgiven and nobody else gets anything?
Yeah, well, Darrell talks to Gonzaga TDC. Maybe you can go find a middle school team to communicate with, Josh. The Ricardo Report, high school sports and hip hop at Fox Sports 1340 AM. I'm running the show today. Josh JB Eloria is still with me. It's time to bring on a very special, special guest, though. My dear friend, Mr. Kyle McFadden, K-Fad.
What's up, Chad?
How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, thank you very much. But listen, I've been listening to Josh for the last 10 minutes, man, and I needed to bring some sanity to the show right now.
Chad. Oh, man, you got to take it easy on Josh. Come on.
Oh, no. Kyle, that's just Chad projecting, okay? You know that he's the one not making any sense.
Sure.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, Kyle, I want to get you started on this, brother. Now, you are in the midst of building a powerful, powerful organization out there in the entire state of Maryland. You know, it's important to us to highlight student athletes, and you and your organization are doing that. You're also bringing the news. You're bringing the information. Tell me about Maryland Sports Access.
Sure. Yeah, so we started it. It was myself and Evan Engelhard. We started this last May. We just had an idea of just bringing my writing presence and his technical side and just kind of marrying those two skills that we have. And, you know, I'm just blessed to have the people, you know, like yourself and your show around me to allow to do what I do, because, you know, it was hard at first going to my first few games last year because nobody knew who I was.
Right.
No, nobody knew who Maryland Sports Access was. So when you walk up to the gate saying, you know, I'm Kyle McFadden from Maryland Sports Access, right. I'm covering the game, and, you know, it was hard at first.
And look, brother, you all are doing a damn good job. So, even if it's still the case right now, it's not going to be too much longer in which you can go to any gate and they not know exactly who Maryland Sports Access is. I want to kind of connect the last two segments. Right before we brought you on, we were talking about the WCAC. We gave our thoughts of last week and our predictions on this coming week. I know that you were at the DeMatha Good Counsel game.
Yes.
Who are you choosing in these rematch games? Who do you got and why?
Well, I mean, it's so hard to overlook the Matha, just what they've accomplished. I mean, they're 10-0 for the first time with Coach Brooks, and that's surprising. But when you look back at the schedules that they've had and the teams that they've played, it's not too surprising. But with this team, I mean, outside of Chase Young, I don't know if there's...
Correct.
Is there a four-star that starts for them?
I'm telling you, bro.
I think Marcus Miner was the only one, if I'm not mistaken. He just got injured. I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
I think he's coming back soon. But with this group to be the first, I guess, team with Coach Brooks to be 10-0, I mean, that's surprising. But what they've done with that group is – they just find ways to win.
Yes, they do.
And to choose another team besides the Matha just seems a little foolish to me. But if I did pick one, it would be Gonzaga, just because they match up well up front.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Gonzaga always seems to play the Matha close. If you asked me that same question a few months ago, I would say St. John's. To overlook St. John's is also foolish as well, just because they're loaded. But, I mean... they just lost to Gonzaga last week.
Absolutely. So, and they lost three of their last seven, Kyle. This is why I argue with you about where they are in your power. But that's a different conversation.
Look at their roster. I don't get it. Well, why are they losing these games? I have no idea. But, I mean, you know, you can be paper champions.
Remember
the Philadelphia Eagles one year were absolutely
They had the dream team.
Yes.
And yes.
Sometimes it just doesn't click, or maybe they're – peaking, or I don't know.
Yeah.
If they had to choose one game to pull it all together, I mean, this weekend is it.
So, as of today, though, you're choosing Gonzaga.
I'm going to pick Gonzaga just because they've really peaked at the right time.
Yes.
I have them power ranked number two in my poll.
I know you
for a good reason.
St. Francis, don't worry. I keep giving him a hard time on this. It's what he does. Yes.
St. Francis is number three and very close right behind, but I think Gonzaga has peaked at the right time.
We'll see what happens there. I want to give a little bit of credit out there to DeMatha. I believe also that Austin Fontaine is likely also a four-star athlete as well. Bo English, of course, tremendous quarterback, tremendous outstanding leader, no matter how many stars that you give him. Corey Sproul, big-time running back out there. I had a DeMatha insider, and then we'll move on from this, but I had a DeMatha insider that's been telling me all season long that there are teams that are bought and there are teams that are built. And that's the difference between St. John's and DeMatha. But we'll get off of WCAC. I want to talk to you about public schools in the state of Maryland. The playoffs are on the horizon right now. We'll start down in, what is it, Class A? You know a lot more about Maryland playoffs than me. Is it Class A?
Well, we'll start with Class 1A right now.
There we go.
We can work our way up. Yeah, so Class 1A, I mean, I really don't see anybody touching Fort Hill. I was just up there this past weekend when they played Allegheny, and I just don't see anybody touching Fort Hill. They've won the past three Class 1A state championships, and the only team that they've really had or have to get past to, in my mind, is Allegheny. They just beat them by 35.
Right.
So, I expect them to just roll right through their class and possibly win the state crown by 35.
Woo!
Maybe even more. I mean, who knows?
All right, well, if you say it, I'm rolling with it. Tell me about 2A. Who do you got there?
So Class 2A is probably the most competitive class in the state of Maryland just because of the parity across the state. In the 2A West, I'm going with Walkersville. In the 2A North, I'm going with Dunbar. 2A South is probably the most competitive region in the state just in terms of the four teams that have qualified. Patuxent plays Lackey, and Lackey actually handed Patuxent their only loss this year, and Patuxent is the first seed. So Wynn Park plays, they play Calvert. So Wynn Park and Calvert haven't played this year, but Wynn Park and Calvert, from what I've heard, they can beat Patuxent. Anybody can come out of that 2A South. I'm going with Patuxent just because they've been there and have done that before. They won the Class 2A crown last year. They get their quarterback back from last year. They're a passing team. They're very pass happy. And in high school football, passing is the X factor. Across the Bayside, it's very competitive as well. I'm going with Kent Island over North Caroline in the first round. And then I'm going with Queen Anne's over Elkton. And then Kent Island, though they lost to Queen Anne's last week, I think they will bounce back and beat Queen Anne's in the region championship. But overall in Class 2A, I mean, it's tough.
Right.
So, I mean, we can expect more fireworks and late game drama in the Class 2A game, but I'm probably going to go with Walkersville.
Walkersville is, if I was putting down Monopoly money, I should put it on Walkersville?
Well, I wouldn't bet on one team in the Class 2A just because it's so competitive. I think six or seven teams could walk away with the Class 2A crown.
All right. And in 3A, who are we looking at here? Because this is where Joshy Laurie starts getting disrespectful. Give 3A, me 3A.
Well, first, I want to hear what Josh's predictions are for Class 3A.
Now, Chad's whole thing about me being disrespectful, and I'll be the first to admit I'm no expert on the Maryland public school system.
Sure.
But Chad has been on my case all season because I've ranked Damascus and Wise consistently worse then he thought I should have placed them more.
No respect to Wise or Damascus, the two teams we're about to talk about, but go ahead.
My thing is, yes, these are great teams, but I can't rank them any higher because I don't know they're playing the best competition. And my question is, do you think that's a fair argument to have them consistently around six or seven instead of in the top five?
I mean, I have Damascus ranked sixth in my most previous poll, too, or just power ranking, so I don't know how low you have them ranked, but considering they are a public school team, I mean, I'm not sure how much heat that Chad's giving you, but I mean, that's up to Chad.
Well, you heard it. He kind of just yells disrespectful, and I think he might say some other things. I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's no surprise here. I'm going with Damascus in the Class 3A. I mean, to win in any level of football, you need protection up front. And I think Damascus has the best public school line in the state of Maryland by far. I mean, it's not even close. And then you add Marcus Vinson and Elijah Atkins to that, two terrific athletes. I mean, I don't see anybody even stopping Damascus this year. I know that Blair only lost by 8 points, but from what I've heard, I think Damascus, you know, you also have to give Blair credit as well. But I'm going with Damascus over Franklin. I know a lot of people were talking about Oxon Hill as well, but from what I've heard, I think Franklin is a better football team. Their only loss this year came to private school McDonough.
Right.
So I think we're going to see a rematch from the 2014 Class 3A state championship with Franklin and Damascus.
And no disrespect to Franklin, only this time Steven Smothers will not be walking through the door for yes, Franklin sir. In this game. And now, final one, we're talking about Wise. Does anybody have a shot against Wise?
Well, I mean, Old Mill, possibly, just because of their physicality, they could possibly hang with Wise. But, I mean, if you're being real here, I don't think anybody's going to come close to Wise. They have athletes all over the field. Their quarterback, Jabari Laws, just picked up an offer from West Point Army.
Right.
I mean, I don't see anybody having the athletes mixed in with their physicality to be able to contend with Wise. I mean, Quince Orchard at Sherwood
Q-O.
Also in the mix. I know in Montgomery County's dream, or a MoCo football dream, is to have a Quince Orchard Sherwood Class 4A state championship. I mean, I wouldn't rule that out, but it's very unlikely just because of what Old Mill and Wise have. I'm going with Wise to repeat.
Okay. All right, and look, I'm rolling with you on Wise as well. Look, whatever you told me, but it when you tell me that it's Wise, it's easy for me to agree on that right there. Here's what I want to know, though. I am at heart. Josh likes to be objective, which I'm sure that you like to be objective as well, because you know you guys are the whole journalist thing. I have favorites, and Kyle, one of my favorites. Is Richard Montgomery. I got my nephew Spencer Silverstein. Some might ask how he's my nephew, but we're just gonna say he's my nephew. Uh-huh. My nephew Spencer Silverstein is the quarterback over there. Spencer Silverstein and the Richard Montgomery Rockets have an outstanding record over the last 2 years. They've only lost 3 games in the last 2 years, but all 3 games have been to Northwest. They got Northwest again this week. Does Richard Montgomery and my nephew Spencer Silverstein have a shot against my other dude, Khalil Owens, and Northwest?
Well, I mean, I think anything's possible. let's be honest here. Coach Neubiser will be the first one to tell you from Northwest. I mean, he's their head coach. He's the first one that'll tell you that they're very inconsistent. They've been that way since they won the Class 4A crown in 2014. They've just been inconsistent. Penalties have hurt them. They practically shoot themselves in the foot. So if they come out on Friday night and start turning the ball over and making these atrocious penalties, then, I mean, sure, yeah.
So Kyle, you're saying there's a chance.
Oh, of course there is.
There we go.
Kyle, you don't know the headache you're about to give me, because Chad's not going to stop talking about the Rockets now.
Do I think they'll win? No.
Kyle, don't ruin it. Tylan Hebron, to all of my dudes out there, look.
Sure.
Kyle McFadden said that there's a chance. You guys go out there and get it done. Only Khalil Owens,
chance,
I want for
do
you
I
to...
think they'll win? Probably not.
Okay. All right. I do want Khalil Owens to go off. I want for him to score 4 touchdowns, but I want for Spencer to throw for 5. How about that?
Fair.
Kyle McFadden, thank you very much, brother. Before you go, where can everybody find Maryland Sports Access?
Yeah, so it's just MarylandSportsAccess.com, and we are on Twitter at MDSportsAccess. We also have an Instagram page, just Maryland Sports Access. You can also follow me on Twitter at K_FADD.
K-Fad, my man, Kyle McFadden.
That's correct.
Thank you very much, brother.
Hey, take care, Kyle.
Thank you, Chad, for having us again. Thank you, Josh. Hang in there. You know, Chad can give you some headaches, I guess, sometimes, but, you know, he's a good guy.
I'm trying to put you in the worst mood. P1 cleaner than your church shoes. Really point to just to hurt you. All red lamb just to tease you. None of these toys on lease to. Made your whole year in a week to. Main out of your loop to. Side out of your loop to. House so empty, need a centerpiece. 20 racks of table come from ebony. Cut that ivory into skinny pieces. Then she clean up with her face. If I kill any pain, look what you've done. I'm a motherstar. Look what you've done. I'm a motherstar.
High school sports and hip hop. This is the Ricardo Report. I'm here, Chad Ricardo, right there, Josh, JVE, Laurie, joining the show, Mr. Jaron Glover, the producer of The Rock. I always wanted to say that. This is not The Rock, but I always wanted to say that. JG, how you feel about that? It's like, this is kind of like Rockefeller, right? Like back in the day? Is that a little too old for you as well? Like, were you not?
No, not at all. See, I was in elementary when all that was going down, so I'm not too young for it.
I'm just going to trust you all heads on that, because Jay-Z got introduced to me by Linkin Park, and let's move on.
Oh my gosh. I can't
even. Blame the suburbs, okay? Blame the suburbs.
All right.
No, Josh. No, from the suburbs, and. Yeah.
Not the suburbs of Pittsburgh.
Right. Okay. We are going to move. Jay-Z was introduced by Linkin Park. This is high school sports and hip. All right. I digress. Let's talk football. Braddock in South County. JG, we were out there. That was an amazing atmosphere for that game. Look, bro, I got to tell you, last week Josh said, I asked him straight up whether he trusted South County. He said that his trust level for SoCo was at about at a 7. I said that I had full faith in them. I predicted against my man Lamont Atkins, and Atkins ran for about 300 yards. Bro, what happened?
Atkins was the truth.
Right.
The South County D could not stop him. He scored 4 touchdowns, and he had a game-changing interception.
Yes, he did.
Without that interception, it was possible that South County could have came back. I mean, they couldn't stop their offense in the fourth quarter.
Correct.
So, without that interception, who knows? I mean, Lamont was the player of the game.
Lamont Atkins. I heard from a little bird that young man could potentially be up for the offensive and defensive player of the year in the region down there, and not just the Ricardo Report cool under pressure player of the year, but like the entire thing. So shout out to that young savage out there. Couldn't ask for a better young man either. He also had some help. Ibrahim Mansere, he scored 3 touchdowns, I believe. He definitely got loose. Quarterback Ty Crabb, as Braddock rotates quarterbacks, and to see him come in and run the ball, get it done with his legs as well. He got it done also. There were some guys even in defeat that played well for South County, though. McDaniels played well. The other wide receiver, what's his name? Seth Dunn?
Seth Dunn. You guys, we need to keep talking about this kid even more, because he's the one that's always open over there.
Right
receiver right there. That's the one we need to keep our eyes on.
And shout out, of course, to Dylan Spaulding. A lot of times leaves stuff done in that man-to-man coverage. Great wide receiver in his own regard, but when you got somebody as special as Spaulding, you've got to single up somewhere. Also, the running back, Solomon Samay, he had a big game out there, over 100 yards on the ground, 63-yard touchdown to open up the game. Also, JG, how deep of a run will South County go on? They've lost 2 in a row now. What do you think?
Well, let's see what they do against Battlefield on Friday. If they can get past Battlefield on Friday, the sky's the limit. I don't know. I'm a little concerned about the defense, but if the offense can work like this every game,
right?
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right. JG gives you a we'll see. Josh, what do you think? How deep can they go?
I think that South County, as long as they stay consistent on defense. I mean, we've seen this offense. It's one of the most explosive in the region, especially with Action Jack McDaniels behind, under center, calling the signals. I wouldn't be surprised if they make a run for the state semifinals.
There we go. All right. And
Now, Chad.
Hey, buddy.
Can we take a second and give me credit for picking this game right?
All right. You did.
Not just that. Not just the right winner, but the way the win would happen. What did I tell you about that running game?
All right, you said it, Josh, okay? All right, you said it.
Oh, Josh is gloating today.
You and far between. Chad doesn't let me forget anytime I pick the wrong team, so I'm not letting him forget anytime I get it right.
Look, JG, Josh knows what's coming right now. Josh knows what's coming right now. Right now, we're going to talk about my dudes out there at St. Francis Academy. Josh, I've been trying to tell you this for the last 2 months, that this is hands down the best team in the state of Maryland, and they proved it again, not just this week against Mount St. Joe's, but what they've done for the whole entire season. Hate on them now. Talk bad about them now, Josh. What you got to say now?
Chad, you're acting like I haven't been saying.
What you got to say now, Josh?
Are you going to let me finish?
Okay.
Alright, Chad, you're acting like I haven't been saying I was wrong about this team for the last 3 weeks.
Okay? I just want to hear you say it again.
At this point, you are beating the horse dead. Alright? St. Francis got nicknamed by you, DeMatha North.
DeMatha North! I just wanted to hear myself talk that time.
Any techniques you do when you have to sub for how to deal with Chad interrupting?
you just kind of let it go by, and then you speak your mind. You know what I'm saying? You can't be involved with those, all the little interruptions.
There you go. All right, there you go. By.
All right, but. Yeah, I told you that San Francis was going to win this game easily. You said I was disrespectful to Mount St. Joseph's last week.
You are. Coach Holzer is listening as well.
Coach Holzer, you might need to have a talk with Chad about being realistic about games.
That's
all I'm going to say.
Jeez. Man, JG, that guy, he said, JG,
so disrespectful.
So disrespectful. JG, when we go up to Mount St., we are not taking Josh with us. We are not, Josh, you will not get a purple shirt from Coach Holzer. I can tell you that much right now.
Okay.
St. Francis Academy taking on IMG Academy this coming weekend. And you know what? The thing about it is this. Number one, I believe that they can beat IMG Academy. They played very strong against Paramus earlier in the year. I think that they have a shot against IMG Academy. What I don't want to hear is that if they go up there and they play close, if they win or come up just short, I don't want to hear all the haters saying, see, I told you. Now get out of here with that nonsense, bro. This team, top team in the state of Maryland. I put on for St. Francis Academy. They had a hell of a season. Congrats to you guys, MIAA champions. You deserve it. Speaking of the MIAA and speaking of you, Josh, being wrong, we got to talk right now about that Pilate Riverdale Baptist game. I believe that, Josh, your quote was, I'm going with Riverdale Baptist because Pilate does not have the stallions to pull it off. Speak to me now, Josh.
Ooh.
I was wrong.
Right.
This happens often.
At least he admits it.
I mean, everything I've said is on record. There's no way I'm talking my way out of this one. I've got to give it up to St. Vincent Pilate. I should have listened to Blake Corum when he told me we ain't losing again this season. They have shown time and time again that they are the cream of the crop in that second division of the MIAA. And, hey, I am excited to see how this program continues to build. That was a great way to finish off the regular season. That's the end of their regular season, right?
That is the end of their regular season. They do, though, play in a championship game this weekend against Boys Latin. Was actually having a conversation with Braden Atkinson, big-time tight end out there at Boys Latin. Of course, Victor Demokije out there as well. And Braden was like, bruh, why don't y'all ever talk about us out here at Boys Latin? We're talking about you now, fellas. Pilates got Boys Latin this weekend.
Hey, and guys, holler at Chad because he's the one who makes a rundown for the show, okay?
Thanks. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You know what, though, bro? The thing about this Pilate team, man, I mean, I was talking to Coach Ian Thomas the other day, and I was talking about what makes this squad so special. And he was saying that, you know, there's a lot of big-time programs that recruit players and ask them to come and be a part of the team. You know, he said that at Pilate, they bring players in because they want them to be a part of the family. This Pilate team is so close, bro. That's one of the reasons why they're one of my favorite teams out there. Of course, it all starts with Cam Sullivan Brown. It all starts with James Patterson. But the catalyst, the young man that put this team, this program on his back, on his shoulders, is none other than Jarrett Patterson. He's a young savage that got it done. He had close to 300 yards of total offense. He had two kick returns spanning close to 200 yards and kick returning as well. He had an interception return 102 yards for a touchdown. He forced the fumble and he recovered a fumble. He had more stats than a lot of people have an entire season in one ball game. His last regular season game of his high school career. Josh, I've been telling you all season about this young savage as well. He deserves all the credit, all the respect, and you, sir, owe him an apology.
That I do. And Chad, you owe me a cookie for putting up with your rants.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up. All the way up. I'm all the way up. I'm all the way up. Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up. Show it what you want. Show it what you need. My nuts run the game. We ain't never leave. Never leave. Counting up this money. We ain't never sleep. Never sleep. You got V12. I got 12 V. Got bottles. Got weed. Got hat. I'm all the way up.
Shorty, what you want? I got what you need. Shorty, what you want? I got what you need. Shorty, what you want? I got what you need.
I'm all the way up.
And Rolexes, kicked the bitch out the room and gave her no breakfast. Had to stash the jewels, these just so reckless. Keep on so cruise, I'm talking naughty uptown, showing off for new things. Couldn't take it all, so I gave her un ching. She called me top shot, yeah, I keep a few tings. Champion sound, yeah, I got a few rings, and I'm all the way up.
Definitely gotta love those recaps, man. And shout out to my boys from Pilates again, Jared Patterson. By the time that this airs, we'll know who won the Cool Under Pressure presented by Thrive Student Athlete of the Week. Jared Patterson, Tyree Randolph, Evan Faulkman is in the mix as well. Malik McGriff up there, McDonough. Josh, a ton of savages for that.
Absolutely. I mean, you say it week in and week out. EMV's got some of the best athletes in the nation. I'll take them over any other region, football and basketball.
In the entire region. We are the Ricardo Report. And speaking of the young and upcoming talent, we definitely want to give a shout out to the Maryland Heat program of the GYFL. Josh, you and I had the opportunity. We were out there with them the other day. Both JV, both Frosh and Varsity, clean sweep. They went 3-for-3. Shout out and congrats to Coach Terrence Bird, right?
Yeah, they came, they said they conquered. You might as well call them the Romans of the GYFL.
That's a good one there. I especially want to give credit to that Varsity team, though. They were a team that lost to Mark McCain's Bowie Elite Squad, a heck of a team, led, of course, by Caleb Williams. Varsity team, Maryland Heat, they were able to come out and not only beat, they kind of beat up. I know McCain doesn't like to hear that. They kind of beat up the Bowie Elite team, Caleb Williams, Jahlil Farouk, but the Maryland Heat squad, they put it on them, Josh.
Yep, that they did.
All right, Christian Taylor, my man. I don't even want to get into this because there's so many savages. Littleton out there, my main man. DJ Williams out there. What's the young man? Number four. I can't think of your name. Larkins.
Jordan
Anderson. Larkins, Caleb Combs, there's so many good Maryland Heat football players out there. We didn't even get to the quarterback, the MVP, Mr. Derek Dunn, but they're very good. But we got to move on. Let's go back to high school.
Okay.
All right. We got to talk about playoffs. This is the time in which we pick them. The first game that we're going to take a look at, our old friends down there at C.D. Hilton. Hilton made it into the playoffs with a win last week, and they are taking on Forge, a team that was climbing up into my top 25, but who lost last weekend. Josh, who do you got in this game?
I've got to go with C.D. Hilton. Why? Because of their dynamic running back, Mr. Ricky Slade.
I feel you on that. And you know what? I'm going to one-up you on Ricky Slade, or I'm going to add to your Ricky Slade argument, and I'm going to give you my main man, Mike Collins, as well. He had a huge game last week. Big-time interception return for a touchdown, and he had over 100 on the ground as well. DeJavion Franklin, they got a bunch of savages out there. I think that their talent finally shows through, and Hilton knocks off Forge. Forge is going to be tweeting at me, but I'm going there. Second game that we're going to take a look at, my guys out there in Northwest taking on Richard Montgomery, where my nephew, Mr. Spencer Silverstein, plays. Kyle McFadden.
Man, I can't wait for this game to happen.
Fine.
And Richard Montgomery Rockets to get bounced so I don't have to hear about your nephew for a couple of months.
All right. Who do you got, Josh? Whatever.
I think it's pretty obvious. I'm going with Northwest.
Okay, fine. I tell you what. Can I just sit this one out?
Yes. Yeah. I feel like it's good. Okay. If we want to still have some journalistic integrity. About your nephew, the better.
Chris Craddock, Khalil Owens, my dudes out there, they got two or three top-notch wide receivers at Northwest as well. They've got another big-time safety out there at Northwest as well. This Northwest team, they've lost a few games, but they are very talented. They are loaded. I love my guys out there, the Richard Montgomery Rockets, Spencer Silverstein, Tylan Hebron, who has had a huge, huge season, one of the top running backs in Montgomery County. They got a punch much as Chance, bro. I think that that's the game that I'm going to be at, so I am going to abstain myself from actually making a pick here. But they've got a shot. Go Richard Montgomery Rockets.
Yeah.
All right. Final game that we're talking about here, Pilate versus Boys Latin. I love the guys out there, Boys Latin, Atkinson, Dima KJ. Love this team out there, but are you going to pick against Pilate again?
Nope.
Go ahead and pick against Pilate again, Josh.
I just said I'm not doing it.
Okay. All right. So what do you say the final score of this game is?
It's going to be similar to the first matchup. I see double-digit victory for the Panthers.
All right, and that's no disrespect to the Lakers. I'm always a Lakers fan, and Boys Latin, I got to tell you, if you were playing anybody else, I would be rooting for and predicting you right now because you've got a ton of talent over there, but I am going with the boys from Pilate as well. They win their 10th straight game. Like you said, you should have never gone against Blake Corum as if Blake is not our boy, as if we didn't watch Blake at the GYFL, as if Blake would lie to you. Blake ain't going to lie to you, Josh.
Impartial observer.
Blake ain't gonna lie to you. If Blake Corum said it to you, then you should have taken it to the bank. He said they were gonna win every one of their last games. They're gonna do it. They're gonna win their 10th in a row. I got Pilate winning the MIAAB level championship this weekend.
Okay.
That's going to do it for us. Definitely want to give a shout out to everybody that helped make this show possible here tonight. Rodney Jiggs Johnson, WCAC Insider Darrell Bocknight, Mr. Producer of The Rock or The Ricardo Report, Jaron Glover, and you, Josh E. Laurie. Could not have made this happen, though, without you and you listening at home. Thank you for making us the official source of high school sports in the DMV. On behalf of all of my crew, I am Chad Ricardo, and this is The Ricardo Report. Happy birthday, Mom. And we're out.
Cool.